You have brought with you this morning a copy of the Word of God. I want to encourage you to open it up with me, please, to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we're going to look at chapter 4, verse number 10. 1 Peter, chapter number 4, verse number 10. I'm going to preach today on this subject, the call to stewardship. The call to stewardship, 1 Peter, chapter number 4, verse number 10. We're going to read that in just a moment or two. I have the New King James Version of the Bible with me, and so if that's helpful for you, go ahead and click on that, and you can read exactly as I do. We're going to look at four passages of Scripture this morning, but we're going to start with 1 Peter chapter number 4. So if you found that portion of the Word of God, would you stand with me, please, as we honor God and we share together in the reading of God's holy, His inerrant, and His infallible Word. 1 Peter chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 10, the Bible says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Pray with me, please. Lord God in heaven, we do come into your presence today in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thanking you once again for the opportunity of worshiping, the privilege to gather. God, for the blessing of having your book. And Father, we pray that as we look into the Word of God today, that your Holy Spirit would take it and show it to us, Lord, in a way that we might be able to apply it to our heart, apply it to our life, God, so that we might continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray this morning that as we gather as worshipers, that we would truly be yours. Lord, I want to be used of you. So, God, I pray today you'd fill me with your Spirit. Father, I pray this morning that you would give me that heavenly unction. For it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray, and it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Today we gather together to understand and to talk a little bit about the significance, the profound importance, the vital role that the subject of stewardship has in the life of those of us who claim to be followers of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, when we think of stewardship, immediately many people's mind and their heart kind of brush back on that a little bit because they think about stewardship only in the terms of financial resources. But the Scripture speaks about stewardship in a much broader capacity than that. When we think about stewardship, it transcends more than just the act of giving, and it really encapsulates our entire existence as far as believers are concerned. Stewardship, it's not just about money. It's about how we manage things. It's about how we manage our time, and it's about how we manage our resources, and it's about how we manage the earth in itself. And our guiding text here this morning comes from this passage that we've just read. Have you ever thought about it? You ever thought about really what the Scripture says there in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10? Again, take a look at it, what it says. It says, "As each one of us has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." I love that passage of Scripture because it teaches to us that we as believers, we are an incredibly blessed group of people. And it goes into what Peter is thinking here about how God has blessed him and God had blessed the people that he was ministering to with spiritual gifts. And we've spent some time talking about that in our congregation and in our fellowship of knowing that each and every one of us, because we're believers and followers of Jesus, that we have been blessed by God and given a spiritual gift. If you know Jesus, if you are saved, then God has imparted unto you a peculiar, a unique gift that is just yours. And many of us have spent time and many of us have spent effort trying to discern what our spiritual gift is. And probably there's some in this room this morning that know exactly what our spiritual gift might be. I understand what my spiritual gift is, and I truly desire to function and to operate as a believer trying to fulfill that spiritual gift that God has given to me. And that's what this verse says, right? When you look at this passage of Scripture, it tells us that each one of us has received a gift. What are we to do with it? Well, the text tells us that we are to minister it to one another. What gift that you have been given, your responsibility is to discover and develop and to deploy that gift in the local body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Peter says it here. He says we are to minister it to one another, right? Your spiritual gift is to be deployed in such a way that it blesses me. And not only me, but others in the body of Christ. And my spiritual gift is the same thing as yours is. It is not for my good, but it is for the good and for the blessing of those that I worship with, those that are part of the family of faith. It is desired by the Heavenly Father to be used to bless the people at Parkside Baptist Church, right? And that's why God gifts to us spiritual gifts. But notice what he says here in the last part of that verse, verse number 10. He says in the last part of that verse that we are to do so as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That gift that you have been given, you are to use that gift. And the word that he uses is stewardship. Stewardship of managing it for the benefit and managing it for the blessing of others. And so that's what I want us to spend a little bit of time talking about this morning. How we have been called to stewardship. That which you have been given, whether it is your time or whether it is your talent or whether it is your treasure, you are to take those things and to minister them so that it might build up the body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what I thought we would do this morning is that we would look at each one of those headings and look at a passage of Scripture that teaches that to us today. And so I want to encourage you, please keep your Bible open this morning, because we're going to look at some verses of Scripture. Okay? The first area that we need to tackle in regard to stewardship is this: the stewardship of your time. The stewardship of your time. Now let's see what the Bible has to say about that. And so turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, I want us to notice verses 15 and verse number 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 speak to us about our responsibility to steward our time. Stewardship of our time. And this is what the text says there. He says in Ephesians 5, verse number 15, "See then that you walked circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." We need to think about the responsibility that we have to steward our time. And this text here that we've read in Ephesians 5, Paul urges us to be very careful then. To be very careful and understand how you are living. And to live your life not in an unwise way, but he teaches us to live our life here in a very wise way. To know that we have just a little bit of time left. How many of you have seen the illustration of an hourglass? Every one of us has probably seen an hourglass. I looked for an hourglass that I would be able to set up in front of you this morning, but I just didn't have one at the house, but I thought maybe you know what an hourglass is, right? And I can know sometimes that when we are playing games, we play games that's based upon the hourglass, right? You take that hourglass and you turn it over, and you will notice at the beginning of the game, you're going to have a whole bunch of time left, right? Because as those grains of sand drop through that hourglass, you see that you've got a whole bunch up on top and a little bit on the bottom. And so when you start out, you think, I have a lot of time left. I have a bunch of time here. But the longer you're involved in that particular game and the more sand comes from the top of that hourglass to the bottom, you enter into a situation where you understand that time is getting away from you. And you start to hurry and you start to scurry. And what Paul wants us to do is he wants us to use that analogy for life. And he tells us here in Ephesians 5 that it is our responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ that we are to redeem the time. And I think about my life in regards to an hourglass. I can remember I can remember being born, but I can remember being very, very young, and I had a whole bunch of life ahead of me, right? Well, I'm not very, very young anymore. I look in the mirror and I see a lot of gray and I see my hair falling out and I see myself aging. And what that simply means is that I probably have more sand in the bottom of my hourglass, right, than I do at the top. And the time that I have is not as much as it once was. Why is it that sometimes that we wait until the bottom of the hourglass is mostly filled before we start thinking about those things? Some of you in this room this morning, you're very young and you have most of your life ahead of you, we would assume. And he tells us here in Ephesians chapter number 5 that we need to be wise. He tells us that we need to not be unwise. To be wise simply means that you will think about your life and you will think about how you can order your life to bring glory and honor from God, that you wouldn't waste the time that God has given to you, that you would use that time to bring Him glory and to bring Him honor. And you need to be thinking about that now. Instead of waiting till most of the sand is in the bottom of the hourglass to start thinking about those things. So he says, redeem the time. And he uses the idea here of those that are wise and those that are unwise. That you would walk circumspectly, he says in verse number 15. Not as foolish people, but as wise people. He's talking to us here about how we are stewards of the time that God has given to us. Time, like sand in an hourglass, is precious. And many people live as though they have endless hours ahead of them, wasting the opportunity that God has given to them, becoming distracted by things instead of focusing on the time that God has given you in the here and in the now. We are to be stewards of that time. See, God has given you opportunity today to live for Him. God has given you opportunity today to glorify Him. God has given you this chance right now to live your life and to order your life in such a way that it will be maximum glory to the Heavenly Father. And many of us would regret. Not doing that because we've not been good stewards of time. And there will come a time when you get to that place and you think about it. We're stewards. We're stewards of time. Time is a precious gift from God, and how we use it speaks volumes about our priorities and speaks volumes about those things that we value. And so one needs to consider, are we using our time to serve others? Are we using our time to grow spiritually and to build God's kingdom? Or are we being unwise and squandering it on the pursuits that have no eternal value? Redeem the time. Don't be foolish with it. You are a steward of the time that God has given you. The second thing I want us to think about is this, to be steward of our talents. And why don't you turn with me in Matthew's Gospel, if you would. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. I want us to take up reading with verse number 14, and we'll read down through verse number 30. Kind of a lengthy passage of Scripture, but it's a very important passage of Scripture for us to see this morning. Matthew, chapter number 25, beginning with verse number 14, it's the parable of the talents. Listen to what it says here in Matthew 25, beginning with verse number 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought with him 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He who also received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at the coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take that talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What's that parable talking about? Talk about investing, right? Not necessarily talking about investing money, but it is talking about investing that which God has given to you. God has given to you talent, and God has given to you time. What do you do with your time? Do you waste your time, or do you invest your time in the kingdom of God? God has given to you talent. You know, there are people in this room that have some unique and some peculiar talents. What does God want you to do with those unique and peculiar talents? He wants you to invest them in the kingdom. And your talent is not any more significant than what my talent is. Your talent is yours, and it's yours alone. It is that which God has given to you so that you might invest it into the kingdom of God, so that what you would have brings glory and brings honor to God. So he's talking to us, yes, about investing our time, but also he's talking to us about investing our talent. What talent do you have? I can remember several years ago a conversation that I had with a lady that kind of walks with me to this particular day. If you know me, you know that I used to serve as a pastor in Northwest Indiana. I was a pastor in Northwest Indiana at the East Lake Baptist Church. If you've ever traveled in Northwest Indiana, you know that East Lake Baptist Church is probably the flagship Southern Baptist Church in Northwest Indiana. It was located right on Highway 30. And if you've ever been in Northwest Indiana on Highway 30, you know that that is an incredibly busy highway. In fact, just shy of a million vehicles in a 30-day period of time travels past East Lake Baptist Church. Now, East Lake was a church that was blessed. We had a beautiful facility up there, and God had given us a beautiful facility, and God had given us right on Highway 30. We had right at 15 acres, 14 point some acres there. And mostly it was road frontage. It was a very long piece of property. And it was a very, very valuable piece of property. And the building was super nice. I mean, the building was nice. It was a brick building and it looked nice from the road. And one thing that we had there was that we had a lot of landscaping that was done. There was a lot of grass to be mowed, right? And we hired that out. We hired that out, and once a week, people would come in, and they would mow the grass. But we also had some very beautiful decorations in front of our church. This really, really a gorgeous-looking facility from Highway 30. We had a big, giant planter that was out in our main front there that, I don't know, maybe it was 20 feet in diameter. It was really, really big. And it was one of those planters that it had a lower level, then it also had a top level up there. And we kept that full of beautiful, beautiful flowers. In fact, we really didn't keep it full of beautiful, beautiful flowers. There was one lady there that kept it full of beautiful, beautiful flowers. And she really worked hard on that. You would drive by East Lake on Highway 30, you'd look and you'd see that it was beautiful, that everything was manicured, and it looked like it was a professional landscaper had done that. And really, it wasn't a professional landscaper that had done that. It was just a precious lady. And I can remember showing up to work one day, and it was a summer day, and she was already out there in the planter, and she was working, pulling weeds and trimming up stuff and pruning stuff, doing all that stuff that I don't know why you do it, but she did, obviously. And so I pulled up, getting ready to go into the office, and so I parked my vehicle, and I walked over there, and I was just going to say good morning to her and thank you for what you're doing. And so I did that. I walked up to her. Hey, good morning. I sure appreciate you being out here taking care of these flowers like you did. And you know what she said? She said, Pastor, you don't have to thank me for doing this. She says, in fact, I want to thank you for letting me do this. And I'm like, well, I'm not letting you do this. I mean, you know, you're just doing it because you want to. And then she went on to say this. She said, I know that I'm probably not ever going to be a Sunday school teacher. I know that I'm probably not ever going to have a very significant portion of work in our church. I just don't feel up to doing that. I don't feel qualified to do those things. But she says, I know about flowers. And she said, and this is my service to God, taking care of these flowers. And I thought, you got it. She's exactly right. That was her service to God, and it was just as important in the Lord's scheme of things as it was me serving as pastor of that church. There was no difference, right? She was taking care of those plants simply because that's how she served God. She was being a steward of her talent. To be honest with you, I couldn't tell you what those things were. I know that they were plants. I know that some of them looked like roses. But I didn't know anything about what made them healthy, what made them grow, what kind of pruning that it needed, what kind of fertilizer and stuff that needed, but she did. And I would get people that learned that I was a pastor at Eastlake, and they would tell me multiple times, "Oh man, you guys really take care of your building." And I would always say thank you. But I always thought about that precious lady who'd show up in the heat of summertime, take care of the front of our building, because she had the talent to do it. And she was stewarding her talent. You see what I'm trying to get you to see? Stewardship involves time. We only have so much time. Your life is like sand in the hourglass, and it's being spent day by day. You only have a little bit of opportunity to bring glory and to get honor for God. How are you doing that? Stewardship's about time, but also stewardship's about talent. You're gifted. You're gifted in some unique ways. And the kingdom of God needs all of God's people that are gifted in the unique ways that they are to serve Him. How are you serving Him? What do you do? Stewardship of your talent. We need to invest our talents, our skills, and our resources in ways that honor God and will benefit others. You see, we'll fulfill our role as a faithful steward when we discover, develop, and deploy that which God has given to us in service of the kingdom. Stewardship of your time. Stewardship of your talent. Third thing I want to talk to you about, obviously, is stewardship of your resources. Let's look at 2 Corinthians, if you would. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want you to notice with me there verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Notice what the text says here. It says this, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Of course, that passage of Scripture there is talking about your financial resources, right? God has blessed you with financial resources, and God expects you to be a good steward of your financial resources, our material possessions. We are to be stewards of it. Our financial resources, our possessions, and the earth's resources, they have all been given to us, and they've all been entrusted to us by the Heavenly Father. And how we manage and share these resources reflects our faith and trust in God's provision. Are we generous and wise in our giving, supporting the work of the church and helping those people in need? Are we good stewards of those resources? The Scripture calls us to be generous. The Scripture calls us to be responsible. The Scripture causes us to be passionate when it comes to helping others. If you looked at your checkbook, does anybody do that anymore? Look at your checkbook. And how do you spend your money? Is a significant portion of that given to benefit the kingdom of God? Sean is going to appreciate this. It's tax time, and he's right in the heat of all of that. You know, and as far as Christians, you know, we are called to give and support and be a blessing to ministries, right? And Sean, I filled our taxes out. You know, we had to write that check and send in to Uncle Sam to make him happy. But one of the things that we noticed when we were gathering up all of our information is how much we have dedicated of our financial resources to serving the kingdom of God. And I had to think about that. And I look at it, and Michelle looks at it. It's like, does this represent a sacrificial amount given to the kingdom of God? How do we feel about that? I can answer to the Lord, I felt pretty good about it. Because I know that what we have given through Parkside and what we have given through other different ministries, it represents a significant investment in the kingdom of God. And I would have to think that my father would be pleased. Would your father be pleased? That's really what matters. Have you invested a significant portion in the kingdom of God? What you have. You see, whosoever sows sparingly, that person will also reap sparingly, the scripture says. And whoever sows generously, the Bible says, will also reap generously. And each of you should give what you have and decide in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, the scripture says, for God loves a cheerful giver. What do you have to give? It was a hot July summer day in 2021 where a man was doing some renovation at his house, and he discovered 158 bowling balls buried in his backyard during an outdoor renovation project. It was during the demolition process, when he was around the back steps of his house, that this man by the name of Olson discovered a black spear that was buried in the sand behind some cinder blocks at his house. And he said that was one of the bowling balls, he said. He went on to say, I didn't think a lot about it. I was kind of assuming that it may have been there, just a couple of those in there just to fill in. But he said, the deeper I got into it, the more I realized that it was just basically an entire gridwork of bowling balls that was kept in our backyard. And so Olson kept digging. He kept digging and he kept digging and he kept uncovering ball after ball after ball. And it finally clicked how this treasure of rusty, cracked, dirty bowling balls got there. You see, not too far from where that house was, there was a bowling ball manufacturing plant nearby. It was in Muskegon, Michigan. And you see, the balls that were there were from the 1950s, which meant that they were over 80 years old at the time that they were discovered by Olson. Olson picked those balls up, and he learned that they were used to just fill in where some dirt was needed. And so now he thought, now what in the world am I going to do with 158 bowling balls? So he told some people about his story, and people began to come up with ideas of what they could do with these 158 bowling balls that Olson found buried in his yard. Well, he had one guy that decided that they were going to use those bowling balls as edging for landscape. He was going to polish them up to the very best that they could do, and at their house, they were going to use them to edge some landscape. And so that was a great thing to do. And so he donated some of those bowling balls to those people that wanted to use it as edging for landscape. He also donated 8 bowling balls to a local church that was, I wonder about the wisdom of this, but this local church was going to develop a bowling ball cannon that they were going to deploy at a pig roast that they were going to have that particular summer. And so we're probably not going to do that here. That might not be the most wise thing that you can do. But he took 8 of those bowling balls and donated it to the church because somehow he felt like that those bowling balls would be great in a cannon to be shot. And so he donated some to that particular person. One person decided that these bowling balls could be used to make some great legs for some furniture. He was a furniture maker, and he felt like that he could get these bowling balls and cut them down and use them to make legs for the furniture. And so in this story, this guy by the name of Olson found so many different ways in which he could use a useless treasure to him, a discovery of 158 bowling balls, that he could use those 158 bowling balls to bring glory and to bring God and honor to God. And so in this story, it was the heart of the recipient, you see, that determined the value of the treasure. Some people wanted them for landscaping. Some people wanted them to shoot from a cannon. Some people wanted those bowling balls to develop legs for furniture. Now, I said that to say this, okay? If useless bowling balls can be used to bring glory and to bring honor to God, why can't the resources that you have in your pocket be used to bring glory and to bring honor to God? You see, what it really boils down to is that we are stewards of that which God has given to us. We're stewards of that. We've been blessed, right? I was having a conversation this week. I don't know who it was. I don't remember exactly. I'm getting older, right? And the sand is at the bottom of the hourglass for me, and so I can't quite remember. But I was having a conversation with someone about a guy by the name of Johnny Joseph. Johnny Joseph was a missionary that served in Haiti, and Johnny Joseph came to our house to do some touring in the United States. He's trying to raise some funding for his work, his work in Haiti. And so Johnny Joseph came to our house and stayed with Michelle and I for a day or two. And what we were doing, we would take Johnny to a church here and a church there, and he would speak at this church here and church there. And Johnny was with me one particular day, and we were driving in my pickup truck, and I was taking Johnny to some place to speak. And I'm driving, and I happen to glance over, and I look at Johnny Joseph sitting in the passenger side of my pickup truck, and he would be very quiet, and I could tell that he was crying. You know, he wasn't sobbing out loud, and his chest wasn't heaving or anything like that, but Johnny was crying. And so I looked at Johnny, and I said, "Johnny, is everything okay?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "I'm just missing my family." Of course, that's understandable, right? Be away from your family, and you can miss them. And we talked a little bit about that, and I'm like, is that it? Everything okay? And Johnny looks at me, and he says, "Pastor, people in the United States are very, very blessed. We're very, very wealthy." And he said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, "The people in the United States, you are so blessed that you have mansions just to park your cars." A mansion just to park our cars. That's me. That's you. You have been blessed with incredible assets. And that's good. God wants to bless us. There's nothing wrong with having assets. But what do you do with those assets? You invest them in the kingdom of God. You see, investing those assets in the kingdom of God, that's stewardship. Whoever sows sparingly, right? That person will reap sparingly. But the scripture also says that whoever sows generously will reap generously. Doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible, maybe in the Sermon on the Mount, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Are you investing in the kingdom? Friends, we have a responsibility in stewardship. All of us have time. We have today. Some of us have more time in the future than the rest of us. What are you doing with that time? You just living solely for yourself? Are you investing some of your time in service to the kingdom of God? Some of that time ought to be invested in service to the kingdom of God. And that's a responsibility of stewardship. Some of you have talent. And I know some of you are investing your talent to serve the kingdom of God, to serve me and to serve others. Thank you for doing that. But you know, maybe some of you have got a hidden talent and you're not deploying it to serve the kingdom of God. I believe that every believer ought to serve God in some consistent, strategic, and regular way with the talent that God has given to you. And that talent sometimes looks like a Sunday school teacher. But you know what that talent can also look like? It can also look like a sweet, precious lady in a hot summer day out working in a planter in the church lawn. You've got abilities. Take those abilities and invest it in the kingdom of God. That's stewardship. What about your treasure? What about your money? God has blessed us in the United States of America in such incredible ways. And we ought to be incredibly benevolent to take those resources that God has given to us and put it to work in the kingdom somehow, in some way. Significant portion of that should be through your local church. At least 10% of that ought to come to Parkside Baptist Church. I believe in tithing. We ought to tithe. But I also believe to give beyond the tithe. And whatever's beyond the tithe, that can go to work for the kingdom. That's stewardship. You see, stewardship, it's more than just your financial resources. It's your time, it's your talent, and it's your treasure. And all three of those, you must invest in the kingdom of God. If you're doing that, then you're being what the Bible says is wise. But if you're not doing that, you're being unwise. And God's calling you to be wise. Take advantage of the opportunity that he's given to you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have an invitation, right? We simply invite you to respond to how God has spoken to you today. Think about this. Are you being a good steward of that which God has given to you? The scripture says it is required of a steward that you be found faithful. Are you found faithful as a steward to the Heavenly Father this morning? If you are, praise God for you. I know some of you are, and I am grateful for you, and I thank God for you often. But you know, I know some among us, we're not being good stewards, and I pray for you also that God would help you to rise up and to be that steward. If you need to come and talk to the Father this morning, this altar is open for you. Commit to Him to being a good steward of the blessings that he's given to you. Pray with me if you would.